past days, Sieroji spoke about how one applies the rule to observe at the very moment of arising, every time there's an arising object. And except for the time when one is asleep, one makes effort to observe whether one is sitting, standing, lying, or walking. Whatever act one performs, one tries to observe the phenomena that arise in one's body and mind as soon as something arises. And as one applies effort time and again, first of all, the mind becomes clean. And then knowledge develops stage by stage. Sieroji didn't describe the final stages of insight in detail, but finally, when one's knowledge matures, one realizes Nibbana. And Sieroji spoke about how there are two kinds of sukha, two kinds of happiness, and how the happiness of Nibbana is avedayita sukha, a type of happiness that does not involve the feelings of sense pleasures. It does not involve contact with sense objects. But of course, until one has experienced this within oneself, it's hard for people to believe. So Sieroji would like to speak about the question that King Milinda asked the Venerable Nagasena. King Milinda had some doubt about how it is that Nibbana, about how there is this piece of Nibbana. So Sieroji would like to speak about this today. Starting with the discernment of mental and physical phenomena, nama and rupa, vipassana knowledge develops stage by stage until finally the objects become fewer and fewer and the mind also becomes more and more subtle. The objects become more and more subtle. And it's said that tasatan chetang aparaparang manasi karoto pavatang samatekatawa apuvatang okamati apajati okamati. So that means that as the mind is, one is observing every arising object with well-established mindfulness, with effort, again and again, taking in the objects. The mind is noting time and again, and the observing the objects, which are very faint. And as one is doing so, one crosses over from this stream of object and noting mind and reaches apavata, that is the cessation of these two. And before that time, the yogis who are practicing according to the method, they simply keep on applying the method again and again until Nibbana is realized. The first person to realize apavata or Nibbana is called the Sotapanna. And this person, on realizing Nibbana, dispels the three things that are to be dispelled at that stage. These three are discarded and will never return. And the first of these is Sakkaya Ditthi. This is the belief that regarding the apparent mental and physical phenomena, belief in a being, a belief that there is a being there. And further, when one sees the Dhamma, one sees the Buddha. So one realizes that the Buddha really was who we heard about. There's no doubt regarding the Buddha anymore. There's no more wavering, no more indecisiveness of vichikicca, because one has realized Nibbana. By practicing according to the method, one has reached Nibbana. And thus, one no longer accepts any other beliefs, for example, that a creator will lift us up to heaven. There's no belief in rites and rituals as a way of purifying oneself. And this is, this wrong belief is known as sila bhatta paramasa. This is the second thing that's dispelled by realizing Nibbana for the first time. And further, there are very strong, there's a very strong grade of greed, hatred, and delusion, lobha, dosa, and moha, which can pull beings down to the lower realms of apaya. But when one has realized Nibbana for the first time, these, the very strong greed, hatred, and delusion, which is strong enough to pull one down to the lower realms, is no longer there. One has become freed of those tendencies. So this person is called a samana, a person who has calmed the kilesas. So when one continues to practice, then there's a second level of calming the kilesas, a second type of samana, and continuing, a third level of calming, uprooting the kilesas, a third type of samana. And finally, at the fourth stage of realization, one has completely quelled, put an end to the kilesas. So if one practices this practice, one will reach these four. One will reach these four stages step by step. The word sakkaya deti is a compound made up of three words: sa, kaya, and deti. Kaya means collection or group. So the physical things are not just one. There's lots of little things combined. So when there's hardness, for example, there's many, many bits of hardness combined. The mind, too, occurs. There are many things involved in the mind. So these are called kaya, the mind and the body. The mental and the physical are both collections of things. So they're called kaya. And these are evident. These are really there. When one examines them with knowledge, it's something we can see. It's evident. For example, when one clenches the fist, there's a series of intentions that causes the clenching. And this is, this series of intentions is kaya. It's a group of things that is really there. Sakaya. And there's a corresponding series of tightness, hardness, hot, heat, and so on of the clenched fist. This too is a group of things that is really there, kaya, sakaya. And because of the tightness, the feeling is, there's a feeling of discomfort causing the mind to want to release, and a series of physical releasing due to the series of intentions. All these things are really there. And there's many things combined. So if we don't observe these phenomena when they happen, we don't know. We won't see them as they are. And this is avijja. This is ignorance. Not only can we, would we not know them, but we know them in the wrong way. We know them as I, who am clenching, I am who am relaxing. And one thinks further that there's a self or a soul doing this. So one doesn't know the real nature of mental and physical phenomena involved in clenching the fist. One views it in the wrong way, and this wrong view is called deity. So because one doesn't observe the belief in a self enters the mind. And as long as that belief is there, then there won't be any true belief in the fact that there is no self, or in the teachings of the Buddha. There will be doubt about what is really there. So this is called vichikicca. And as long as one has this sakkaya deity, then if one meets up with someone who's a good speaker, one may follow the wrong path. One may follow a teaching that is totally false. This is called silabhata paramasa, the teachings that say that one can get mental purity by some practice that is totally false. But when one crosses over from observation of mental and physical phenomena to realization of nibbana or apavata, there's no more sakkaya deity, no more view of a self, and there's no more doubt. There's no more wavering. So one knows that this method is correct and other methods are not correct. One understands automatically. These three, sakkaya deity and vichikicca, or skeptical doubt, and silabhata paramasa, belief in rites and rituals, are called papa in Pali. And that means that one who accepts these things, these three beliefs, is low. These things bring us down, and therefore they're called papa. But when one goes from observation of the stream of mental and physical phenomena, pavata, to apavata, realizing nibbana for the first time, these three are eliminated to the point of no return. And further, extreme greed, hatred, and delusion, lobha, dosa, and moha, is decreased. One who does this is called a samana. That is, one who reduces the kilesas, which pull us down. This is the first type of samana, or the first type of noble person, arya. Continuing the practice, when vipassana knowledge develops and matures again, there's a second time of realization of nibbana. And at this second realization of nibbana, greed, hatred, and delusion, lobha, dosa, and moha, are reduced further so that they're no longer coarse or gross. They become gentle. But that's all that happens at this stage. And then, practicing further until the third stage of realizing nibbana. At that stage, the craving or greed for sense objects is eliminated. And there's no more anger at all, nor dosa. These kilesas are quelled. So this is the third type of samana, tatiya samana. And continuing, finally, until the fourth stage of completely uprooting all the remaining mental defilements or kilesas, with the fourth realization of Nibbana, one eliminates all the remaining kilesas so that there is nothing left, no more kilesas left to uproot. This is the Chatota Samana, or the fourth type of samana, the fourth type of person who quells the kilesas. Why is it that these four people are able to eliminate the kilesas? One should think about this. So Sieroji would like to speak about how these four types of people are able to experience the fruits of their practice. The first two can experience fruition to some extent, but the third and the fourth type of samana, or noble person, can enter into absorption of their fruition completely. They can enter into Nirodha Samapatti, so absorption into cessation. And when they arise from it, Sieroji recited the Pali, which is how the words that they utter when arising from their absorption into cessation. They say, Susukhang Vata Nibbanang, Sama Sambuddha Desitang, Asokang Virajang Kemang, Yata Doka Nirojati. So this Yata Dukhang Nirojati, the cessation of mental and physical phenomena and the suffering of them, is Nibbana. So in this cessation, there's no suffering. The Nirodha that the Anagamis and Arhants can absorb into, there's no arising of the mental, there's no arising of the physical. So there's no suffering at all. So when we have a life, when we're born, then we slowly age and we die at the end. As long as we have a mind, there will be mental suffering, the potential for mental suffering. And as long as one has a body, there's physical suffering. So because of these, we have sorrow, and we also cry about the sufferings that we have. So the suffering that is connected with mental and physical phenomena is a lot. And as long as we have a mind and body, one will suffer. Nibbana is the cessation of this. So they call it susukhang. It's very good. The happiness is very good. So not just sukha. They don't call this cessation of suffering just happy. They say that it's very good, very peaceful. And who is it that taught about Nibbana? This Nibbana was taught by the Buddha, Sama Sambuddha Desitang. The Buddha is the one who knows all that there is to know correctly by himself. The Buddha who taught about Nibbana is not an ordinary person. And in this gatha, the qualities of Nibbana are also described. Asokang Virajang Kemang. Asoka means that there's no sorrow. When we lose our health, or we lose our possessions, or become separated from our family, we have sorrow. But in Nibbana, there's no sorrow. And for an ordinary person, lobha, dosa, and moha take turns. one follows them in turns, sometimes following greed, sometimes following anger, sometimes following delusion. And sometimes these defiling tendencies will be strong, sometimes weak, but there will always be the root of these defilements until one uproots them. But there's none of these in Nibbana, so it's called Viraja. There's no mental dirt. And it's also called Kama. There's no danger in Nibbana, no danger from other people, from the weather, from animals, whatever. There's no danger at all. So these are the qualities of Nibbana, and it is very inspiring to hear about. If one really practices to realize Nibbana, one will see for oneself what is said in the text. So these the third and the fourth samanas are able to enter fruition in a very and then when they arise from that absorption, they praise the what they've experienced. The first and the second types of samanas can, to some extent, experience fruition also, but not as deeply, not as fully, because the first and the second samanas still have sense desire, and because of that sense desire, they're not able to develop a very strong samadhi. But the third and the fourth types of samana have no more sense desire, no more loba related to sense objects. So that the samadhi that they develop is very strong, and that's why they can enter into absorption in a very full way. To get that happiness of cessation, to get the real happiness of apavata, there are three stages of the path. There's a single path, but there's three levels or three stages that have to be traveled. So these are called mula, a mula path, and then the forerunner path, and then the noble path. The mula path, or the root path, is the right view of karma and its results. This is basically a wholesome mind. And it's the understanding that when one does good, clean actions, one will get good results. One understands that as one eats, when one eats good food, healthy food that is suitable, one gets benefits physically. And eating poisonous or unsuitable food is detrimental. The understanding about karma and its results is similar to this. When one has understanding of what is good and suitable and what is bad and unsuitable regarding food, then one will choose to eat only wholesome, healthy foods, and one will choose to avoid bad foods. And just the same, with the understanding right that is called right view of karma and its results, one will do good deeds, and one will, because one wants the good results, and one will avoid bad deeds because one doesn't want to incur the bad results. This mula path, this root path, has to be developed. We have to break this road. Without it, we can't get to the remaining two stages. We have to travel this path first. And traveling this, we come to the forerunner path, the practice of satipatthana. that is the precursor of the Noble Path. And this path is none other than effort, mindfulness, and concentration, the application of effort to observe the arising object, mindfulness, and concentration, that is samadhi khanda. And then the accurate aim, where the mind meets the object directly, and knowledge that comes due to the mind falling collectively on the object. These two are the wisdom part of the path. And our moral behavior, our sila, is also complete. We don't actually have the opportunity to transgress. But because we have the intention not to, should the occasion arise, our sila is complete, is known as chetana sila. So this is the forerunner path, the path which precedes the noble path. First of all, the basic path, the root path, has to be opened. The root path has to be followed. And this opens the way for us to walk the forerunner path called Poba Bhaga Mega. So when we go from one place to another, first of all, we need to find what is the road for going there. And then once we're along the road, we have to travel according to the rules of the road. We have to keep our speed steady. And we have to observe the rules of the road, staying in our lane, and slow down when there's a curve, when there's a traffic light. If the light is red, we need to stop. If it's yellow, we can slow down and proceed with caution. If it's green, we can go ahead. We need to be careful not to make a mistake when we're traveling along a road, because if we make a mistake with our driving, we can have an accident, and we can get hurt, and so can others. So it's important not to make mistakes that bring about damage to ourselves and others. But it's also important to be a defensive driver. We have to watch out for other people who may not drive properly. So when one goes steadily along the road like this, obeying the rules and so on, this is like going along the forerunner path. This is the Poba Bhaga Mega, similar to driving along the road. But when we get to the final junction before our destination, this is like reaching the noble path. This is the home stretch. And the noble path follows naturally from the forerunner path that one is going along steadily. It's when we reach our destination that the noble path arises. So these three are the paths we must follow: the Mula path, the Poba Bhaga path, and the Arya path, or the root path, and the forerunner path, and the noble path. If one develops each of these in turn and just goes straight ahead, one will surely reach Nibbana. This is what is described in the texts, and Mahasi Sayadaw also spoke in these very terms. In one noting, there are the three factors of the Sila group and the three factors of the Samadhi group, and the two factors of the wisdom group. If our sila is complete, then our physical and verbal behavior is clean. It's free of blame. It's uplifted. And this is arya. This is how sila makes our life high level and pure when we practice sila. And when one observes every arising object with effort to note it, so that sati sticks to the object and the mind becomes collected on the object, then kilesas don't arise. They're being stopped. They're being quelled. And the mind is clean. So this calming of the kilesas is samana. And the cleanliness of mind, this is arya or pure. And when the mind is accurately aimed at the object and knowledge arises as the mind falls collectedly on the object again and again, this is wisdom. So on a part-time basis, one is calming the kilesas and uprooting them on a part-time basis. So if one keeps walking this path, one will reach the destination and one will uproot the kilesas full-time. But as one is walking, this is part-time. Cleanliness and part-time purity. So arya means excellent and pure. And as one walks the path, one is a person who is quelling the kilesas, one who is quieting down and uprooting the kilesas part-time. Are these people, are there people who can... Are these types of samana, are they found in other religions, in other teachings? Are these are those who can quell, who can stop the kilesas, found in other religions? One should consider for oneself if they are there or not. And if they are, is the quelling of kilesa is systematic or not? One should think about it. So are there samanas in other religions? The Buddha spoke with the ascetic Subhadda just before his final passing away. And the ascetic Subhadda wondered if there were He wondered about the teachings of other teachers, if they were true, and if there were people who quelled the kilesas in those in the teachings that he had heard about. And the Buddha laid down two guidelines. And he also said that only in my teaching is there the Noble Eightfold Path, and only with the Eightfold Path are there people, those beings who are quelling the kilesas. So Seroji will conclude this topic tomorrow night because the hour is already up. But he asks the yogis to consider this for yourself. That's all for today.